Yo, this is the third episode of the Praise Break series. Got my little brother Manny on. This is a visual experience, so if you want to head to the visuals, you know what I'm saying, go to The Average Show Media, look that up on YouTube. I'm gonna put the link in the description below. Title of this episode is How Do You Know God Is Real? When did you know God is real? And yeah, man, it was just a great conversation with my brother, especially for it to be on video. Listen to it, appreciate it, man. This is the end of the Praise Break series, and we got February now coming up, anniversary month, and the end of the season 5. So let's get to it, man. Sit back, relax, man, and enjoy the content, man. Let's go.
You are now listening to an Average Joe Media production.
Average Joe, Average Joe, Average Joe.
Y'all niggas was feeling that shit, weren't you? Yeah, y'all niggas know we had to freak this shit up, man, for season 5. The stars of an Average Joe. Fuck you talking about?
You got some time on your hands. Take a second, listen, and survive in advance. Now come on, just listen to the vision. You gotta be feeling what I'm feeling. We helping brothers and sisters of different colors, fulfilling all God's wonders, wishing no harm to others, and living life in our own way. So here's what I gotta say. Don't stop, don't stop, keep going. Don't let your fears take you down. Never let them take you down. Don't stop, don't stop, keep going. Your fists take you down. Never let them take you down. Guess I'm just an average Joe.
Average Joe, average Joe, average Joe.
I'm feeling like an average Joe. I'm just another average Joe. Stop, keep going, don't let your fears. Never let them take you down. Keep going, don't let your fears. Average Joe, season 5.
Welcome to an episode of Thoughts of an Average Joe podcast. It's Teroy Jackson, man, your favorite Average Joe, man. And today, for the first time ever, I'm doing video and y'all can see the little big brother.
What's good, y'all?
Y'all can see the little big brother. My man, Manny. How we living today? How we doing?
Hey, man, it's another day. I'm alive. I'm breathing. God is still good. And, you know, we're going to keep on keeping on. So I feel good to be here. Hey, thanks, man, for having me, my brother.
Told you. You ain't hot.
Nah, I'm good.
I'm already hot. I need to get a fan up of here, bro.
You good, bro?
Cause nah, man, the vent don't be circulating, man. Like,
usually I'm the one that get hot.
It'd be cold in the master room, but it'd be freezing in here. It'd be hot in here.
Well, shoot, I'd be sleeping up in here. I don't like that cold. So I don't do that.
But yeah, man, I'm doing good, man. Can't complain, man. I'm glad you're here. You know, it's crazy. We were talking off air. I was just like, it's crazy. I was just like, you know, before you would always come home, I'd be there, and now it's like you coming. I got my own spot, like my own. Like
I'm coming to your crib.
You coming to my crib? You know
checking
what I'm saying?
Out your spot.
Checking out your spot. You know what I'm saying? Fuck your couch. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? All that, man. How's the new year been going for you so far?
So far, so good. Yeah, that's always bittersweet. I was thinking, you know, on the ride over here, it took me like an hour to get over here.
Yeah, because you taking tolls.
Yeah, you know, I don't do that, but gave me a lot of time to reflect.
You took I-4 to Lee Road, right?
I don't know what I took. I was taking 1792.
Oh, 1792, and then you made that right where that Wawa was close to be at?
Child, don't ask me. I don't remember. I'll just follow Google Maps.
Yeah, because you could. The easier way would just have been on I-4, Lee Road, make that right, and keep going.
Yeah, I'm not mad for not avoiding I-4. Because I feel like it probably would have been messy. Yeah. It was fine.
I feel you.
I made it safe. That's all that matters.
I feel you speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. All right, man. So it's going to be a continuation of the series, Praise Break Series Reloaded. I know you were the first one on it 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was with
yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, when I was with Max, but I'm finally getting around to doing it. So, first of all, before I get into that, how's your mental health doing?
Good. It's good. I'm continuing to take care of it, trying to get back into the flow of working out. So that's part of my mental health, and just and especially being home now. I've been home for like a week, so just being able to kind of like reflect and, you know, just pray and just kind of just be still in general, not think about work. So that crap has really been helpful for me a lot.
Okay. All right, yeah, that's
so. No complaints. Right. What about yourself?
Mental health is good, man. You know, still on the job hunt. You know, we talked off air. Oh, I gotta show you my car after this. But you know, everything's straight. Just blessed. Was able to make sure at least everything for January is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So just make sure I find a job. So February is being taken care of. But I've never really been one to really stress about like when I lose a job or whatever. Just because like I know like I'm not gonna go without.
Yeah.
But this, I think this time is a little bit different because before when I was living at home, I could ask you or I could ask mom. But yep. Now it's like my bills have multiplied from like my car payment is double what it was before. Like I got rent, lights, you know what I'm saying? All that before it was just.
It's real.
It's real. So it's like I just been on the grind myself. I ain't really been asking nobody. Just been, you know, figuring it out. It's like the other day I was in the shower. I was like, all right, Lord. I would like to get something by the 15th so I can get paid by the 2nd. So, therefore, because the goal for me is as long as I'm not behind on stuff.
Yeah.
And when I go into and when I go and get the new job, as long as I'm not behind, then I can stay ahead. Mm-hmm. But it's very hard when you're behind and then it takes about a couple months to get caught up. Then it's like you just made all this money just to get caught up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You ain't seeing none of it for yourself. Uh-huh. And that sucks.
Exactly.
That's a great position to be in.
Exactly. So, but today's going to be a Praise Break Series Reloaded, final part, part 3. Today's topic is, when did you know God was real? So, when did you know God was real? Like, what happened for you to be like, okay, like, God is real?
I don't know this particular moment that, you know, makes me think of, oh, yeah, God is real, per se. But I do know that, like, I think just growing up and having that. Because my therapist actually started therapy with another therapist. And he was kind of just asking, like, yo, what was, like, one of the most beneficial things?
You say your therapist started therapy with another therapist?
No, I started therapy. So I have couples therapy, which we actually just had today. And then another therapy for my own self.
How much all that be running you?
I have insurance, so literally only cost me, thankfully, like $20 each so far. So
each session,
yeah. So with basically $40 in total.
Yeah, through your EAP.
I honestly don't know. My medical insurance is included in there, thankfully.
Oh, dang, man. That's great.
Yeah, it's been it definitely has increased like access and plus like people being remote and everything. Mm-hmm. Like so, it's been pretty clutch. So, but he was just asking me the other day, other week, how. You know, what was, like, the most beneficial thing that, like, you were, like, family has kind of, like, taught you or instilled in you that I would just definitely say my faith to him because, you know, that's, like, the foundation of, like, who I am and what mm-hmm. I do and try to, like, let that lead in everything that I do and showcase itself. And so I don't know this particular moment that I know God was real, but I do know that, like, between, like, middle school, you know, many people don't know this, but like middle school, man, I was cussing like a sailor. Like mm-hmm. I was kind of out there just, you know, chasing women and doing whatever.
In middle school?
In middle school. And I remember just like sixth grade, it was bad. And then seventh grade, it got like a little less bad. And then eighth grade, it got a little less bad. And then that summer, that's when I gave my life to Christ. And then like ninth grade, it kind of was like, everybody was like, dang, you different, yada, yada, yada. And so, like, I think, you know, I think that same year I got baptized as well. So, it was, like, I think during that time I was able to see that God is real. But I think more than anything, I feel like I really started seeing God was real probably when I was, like, in college. just because, I don't know, well, me and Elisha, right, he's a believer and stuff too, and so like we would do devotionals and stuff together. But then when I got to college, like the university, not community college, you know, just doing that, meeting different people, you know, guys and girls, and just being a part of that community was really huge for me and kind of took me to like that next level. So that would probably like be the start. But even just as I've gotten older, you know, I feel like God has really kind of just proved himself to be real, proved himself to be faithful.
For me, it's going to sound crazy because, you know, we grew up in the church. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was the leader of the junior ushers, like all of that. But, like, always knew he was real. Always knew, like, he was there. But for me, I didn't know, like, you know, everybody be like, I knew God was real this particular moment.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was real to this particular moment until I got the apartment and got my new car. Over the last right before the end of 2023. Because I was stressing. I'm like, okay, like, you know, my girl go back to work 4 days a week now, so it's not like I can't borrow her car three days a week like I was doing before. And excuse me, and my car had, you know, Honda Civic had 308,000 miles on it. So I knew it wasn't gonna last that much longer. So it was just like, okay, like, I gotta figure out, like, how to get a whip before the New Year's, because I don't, like, something happens and I can't get to work, like, my car messed up, I'm screwed, because taking an Uber is gonna be more than a car payment. So just being able to save and to be able to get the apartment was big, because that was like the first big purchase. I would say my first real big adult purchase. Just to have my own apartment, you know, just to be able to move out the house, and then to be able to stay with Tyler, then finally get my own crib. That was huge. And then everything just worked out perfectly, bro, because, you know, I'm still, you know, my whole plan with my credit, trying to do the bankruptcy and everything like that. I was able to get two credit cards within the span of like a week. And getting those two credit cards, getting that Capital One credit card, because I got the Capital One credit card and it was unsecured. It wasn't a secure credit card. It was unsecured. That led me to, I was like, you know what? I was at work. Let me just try the Capital One auto navigation. And I got approved. And I was like, oh, snap. I called my girl. I was like, yo, like, we got to, I got to capitalize on this. It's now or never.
Yeah.
It is now or never. So it came down to three choices. I was looking at it. It was really, it came down to two. I was looking at the Toyota 2020 Toyota RAV4. I already had like, yeah, it was like, it was, it already had like 50,000 miles on it. So that was the third choice. And then my first choice would have been the Honda. It was the 2021 Honda CR-V. Pretty much had everything I wanted, but it had like 11,000. Then I get off of work. I'm in bed. I'm, you know, talking to my girl. I'm trying to figure out, okay, like, I'm just looking at cars. And I remember, like, me and her have went through the list of like cars that we will want, because I didn't want an SUV until I started driving her with. I just wanted like another Civic, another Accord, and I was like, nah, I need something bigger. So then, in bed, then all of a sudden, I see a 2023 Kia Seltos for $11,000. I'm like, So I called them, and I was like, look, you know, here's my situation. You know, my my tag is still expired because I still got to pay the tolls, but I'm trying to get a whip. Is there any way I could get a car today? If I come and get a car today and get a dealer tag, they said, yeah. They said, we done this plenty of times. I said, okay, went in there. And I told my girls, like, I'm determined. I'm going to get a car, X, Y, and Z. She dropped me off. She said, don't come back till you get the car.
Don't come back till you get the car.
So
no car, no you.
You know what I'm saying? So like during Capital One Auto Navigator, I had enough to where I didn't have to put a down payment down for anything. Like I did it to where I didn't have to. But then, of course, when you go in there, things are a little bit different. And they was like, well, at first it was like he did the numbers wrong. And he was like, you got to put $2,600 down. I was like, I ain't got it. So then he was like, all right, let's see. And he was like, oh, okay, we had messed it up. Did the numbers wrong. They still want you to put $600 down. Luckily, I had that $600. So I called my girl. I was like, hey, look, you know, her mom was here at times. So I was like, hey, look, you know, what do you think I should do? Because I would like to put nothing down. It's like, what do you think I should do? Should I go, or should we just go to another dealership, X, Y, and Z? And she was like, man, if it's 600, you know, just do it.
You got it, yeah.
Just do it. And 600 is, you know, better than whatever. I already knew like my car payment was going to be high.
For sure.
Because I already knew that. Mm-hmm. Especially my credit not being great. Yeah. Which I was trying to avoid, but I already knew whether, especially now, like even if my night job, I'm gonna make sure my car payment is paid for. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then I was just like, you know, I was just over it, bro. Like, I was tired of sweating every summer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was tired of sweating every summer, like always hot. The Civic was getting loud, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like I wanted something different. And it was just very emotional for me because it was just like, yo, literally within 2 weeks. So for the time frame, people that don't know, we moved in the day before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We got the keys day before Thanksgiving. We moved in Thanksgiving. Then to turn around and literally a week and a half later, top of December, get a whip. It's crazy. It was like December 7th, like I got a brand new whip.
Yeah.
And I was telling my girl, I was like, and it's crazy because I was looking back at it and I was like, that was the car for me. Mm-hmm. Because when I went back home to see if the Civic, to see if the Honda CRV, which had the only difference between the CRV, the reason why I got the CRV instead of the Seltos was because I was doing some research and they said like after 50,000 miles, the Honda CRV, like the engine starts to mess up, it gets diluted or something, so I didn't want to take that chance.
Yep.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have took the CRV. And the RAV4 I liked, but it already had 50,000 miles on it. And I was just like, I wanted something that I know, especially bankruptcy, is going to last me a while. Because the Civic can last me 7 years. The Seltos can last me 7 years with only 11,000. So when I bought it, it was 12,000. So then when I got it, then I went back to look at the RAV4 and the Civic. I mean, the CRV, they were both taken. They were both sold. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, yo, like, I was just like, God, like, okay. This was like a coming to Jesus moment. Like you're like, I knew you was real, but it was my first time really experiencing you was real without like any help.
Yeah, and I feel like I feel like in certain circumstances like that, that is when you do feel like Jesus is real, right? When you at your worst, at your bottom. I was looking at some sermon notes and stuff like from like earlier this year, and I think one of them was talking about how like, you know, you discover more when God is, that God is real, or depend more on God, like during your worst time when you're at the bottom more so than when you're at the top. It shouldn't be like that, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, when you're in those situations, you beg and plead and, you know,
and it was just like, you know, especially coming off my last relationship, you know, it was trying to get an apartment, didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Trying to get a new car, it wasn't happening. And I even tried when I came back from the contract in March. I got approved, but they wanted $3,500 down and only had $2,500. But because I was just strictly doing contracts, I didn't know when the next contract was going to be. So he was like, when can you give me the other grant? I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that was a Nissan Rogue. Mm-hmm. But it already had about like 70,000 miles on it. My girl said, we'll just take it for a year because he was going to do the bankruptcy thing, which I'm still going to do. Mm-hmm. But now knowing that I basically got a brand, like, I don't think people understand, like, I got a 2023 Kia Seltos that only had 12,000 miles. That's pretty much a brand new car. Like, you know what I'm saying? There are some things I wish it like had more features, but it's pretty much a brand new car. And to go from the car that I had to the car that I have now, mm-hmm. everybody was just like, this man, we in a recession. This man just buying stuff. He got a new apartment, got a new car. Was just like, yo, it was just God. I was like, God showed out. Because if it was me, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Like, it was nothing but God, bro, for me to get the credit card and then be able, because I had a credit card account with Capital One. Now I could get approved for auto loan with Capital One. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was just like, you know.
But see, I think now, though, for you, like, the key thing will be, and I know you know this already, but the key thing for you, I think, is just to make sure that, like, you know, when God gives you something, now mm-hmm. it's just making sure that, like, you're a good steward of what he has given you, mm-hmm. right? And so that's something that I, even from myself, keep in mind, not just for, like, things, but even just like the gifts that he gives you, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have a gift for talking, right? Like you have so many gifts, and we all do, but it's like making sure like we're maximizing that every single day, in various ways, right? In order to make sure to like, look, God, I appreciate you giving me this right here. Let me make sure that I'm giving this like back to you, and mm-hmm. making sure that you know that like I know this is coming from you.
And I think also I had to lose the person that I care for a lot at the time, that I love for at the time, to really like, okay, I kind of see why this didn't work out. So let me try to correct myself to where now with my girl, because she's been with me every step of the way. You know what I'm saying? Even us, you know, even us with the apartment, where the kids, that wasn't supposed to be the case. And it just happened. Even with the car situation, you know, I was really stressed because I was like, my last resort would have been to ask her to co-sign. And I didn't really want to do that. But I was like, I know mom wasn't going to do it. I definitely know dad wasn't going to do it. So it was like, I got to get me a new whip. And I was really struggling with that because I was like, I don't know. Granted, my car, you know what I'm saying, the Civic still run. But yeah. 308,000 miles, I didn't know how much longer it was going to run.
Last on life,
you know what I'm saying? So it was like, I didn't want to sit there and, you know, all of a sudden now, like, I got to quit my job or I got to find a different job or, you know, just it just would have been too much of a hassle.
Yeah.
So to be able to get it, and even though the payments is high, the payments is manageable for me. Mm-hmm. And I think also because of how I managed the last car, I think everything happens for a reason, because I had to be in a better financial situation to where I could be able to manage those payments. Like, I already know, like, yeah, like, I don't plan on, like, like I'm making it a priority, like this, like rent and car payment. That's what's going to get paid the most. Mm-hmm. Like that's what's getting paid on time. You know what I'm saying?
Anything else got to sacrifice? Shoot, that's exactly. Cool, but all of these two things yep. paid mm-hmm. for.
Exactly, that's exactly. Real. Like you know what I'm saying, like even now, like I'm still trying to pay the tolls off. But luckily, God came through once again, because my tag, my dealer tag expires on the 7th. But when I asked the dealer, and I asked the guy who sold it to me, by the way, he looked exactly like Marcus. He looked like Marcus. He talked like Marcus. He tall like Marcus. I was just like, you know what? When he came to me and he was started talking, because I was about to walk out, and he was like, hold on, let me see what I can do. And he came back, and I was like, you know what? This was supposed to be, because you look and talk exactly like my cousin. And then I showed him a picture. He was like, yeah, okay, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, I told Marcus that. Mm-hmm. I told my girl that too. And so like I hit him up yesterday, and I was like, look, when it's like, I still haven't got the tag yet, when it's the tag gonna get there? Because I was worried, because I lost my job. The plan was I was supposed to pay it off top of the new year. Mm-hmm. But when I lost my job, I was like, I can't do that now. So I'm thinking like, I don't know how I'm gonna pull this off. But luckily I called him yesterday, and he was like, yeah, give us to the 10th. And Dave was like, you'll give him another week. And I was like, well, the tag expires on the 7th. So he was like, coming on the 7th, and we'll do it again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool, I need 30 more days anyway to pay it off.
Yeah.
So I'm manifesting I get this job starting the 15th. I'll have enough money between the two jobs on the 2nd to pay rent and pay my tag off and pay the tolls off, so I could get the tag. Mm-hmm. So once again, God came through again, because I was stressing. I was like, Lord, because I saw somebody the other day, and they had an expired dealer tag from November. I was like, I can't be that.
I wouldn't want to risk it.
I don't want to risk it, man. These cops be brutal out here, man. I don't want to risk it. So, like,
don't do it.
I'm saying, like, he's definitely, over the last few months, have shown out. Now it's just my time to do my due diligence.
Yeah.
I'm still struggling with going back to church. Mm-hmm. I'm more so at this point just been like, I'll listen to sermons on Apple Podcasts, and I'll read my Bible on call today. But I just don't. I think I'm at a different point in my life, just because of, like, I don't really, especially down here, like a lot of churches that I've gone to don't really open up the Bible mm-hmm. and preach from the Word when I'm at church, and that's something like I'm strict on.
Yeah, as you should.
So like, I just won't go to church. Like mm-hmm. I'll listen to Orlando World Outreach. You know what I'm saying? That's the main one I listen to. I've been trying to get mom to talk to Pastor Burrell to upload his sermons to let me handle it so I can upload the sermons. I'll create the whole account and he can upload a tab and all that, because I can listen to that.
Yeah,
that's so much easier for me to listen to than to try to listen to it on YouTube, because I got to keep my phone open. But with Apple Podcasts, I can lock it and still listen to it.
Yeah,
so I've been talking to mom about that. And just I'm gonna try to make an attempt this year to at least go to church once a month. Like that's my goal, because I think the last time I went to church was, I want to say maybe like October, November.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron had asked me when I was coming to church, and I was late, but I was there. So
you got to start somewhere, man. Yeah. I think, like you said, like just, and I think that's just in life in general, just taking like those baby steps. So if you feel like, okay, look, I can commit to once a month, do that. Then obviously you don't want to stay there, mm-hmm. right? But over time, gradually, like getting, going to church more, do it 2 days, two times a month, and three times. You know what I'm saying? So like building yourself up. But I think like for you in this season, I think that one of the key things is to, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but like don't just like ask, and then like once you get, I got, I'm good, appreciate you. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? But like making sure you're being holistic with it, and like turn to like now, you know, that you're doing well, that you, I know you're still waiting for a few things to come through, right? Still making sure like you're leaning on God. And this, you know, for, it's not always easy, right?
It's not.
And I act like it's like super easy, but it's just like, it's, I feel like when you are in your worst place, when you're at the bottom, when you're in a pit, you are naturally going to want to come out of it, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to be depending even more so on God. Even if you were like depending on God a lot, you're still going to depend on God even more. But at the same time, though, like that's still, you want that to become like a habit, which is, again, it's not easy. I think this year, particularly for the latter part of this year, I did a much better job of being consistent. Like I like to spend time with the Lord in the morning, getting up in the morning, you know, before the light outside, spending time with the Lord, just some reflection and prayer,
mm-hmm.
trying to get in the word, you know, and just starting my day off like on the right foot, and then kind of just going from there. I want to do a better job of like in my relationship, making sure I'm spending time with the Lord, with her, us together. We were just talking today, like we need to set a time aside to spend time with the Lord at least one day a week, you know, just like if you was going to Bible study or something like mm-hmm. that. It's the same day, same time. You know, I'm being intentional about that, because I do feel like that will give us like a strong, solid foundation as we, you know, seek to like try to get married and things of that nature. And so, you know, it's just one day at a time. But I think like you said, being consistent, you know, not just during like challenging times, but also like during a good time. I think the good time is even more important
mm-hmm.
because like he expects you to come during the challenging times.
Exactly.
But it's like when you are freaking like, you know, during the positive times, you still turning to him, right? You still praying, you still getting the word, right? Like, I think he definitely honors that as well.
Yeah, and that was part of what I struggled with. And I think, like, just doing some self-reflection, I could be honest, that was probably one of the reasons why me and Max didn't work out. Because she was more far along in her walk than yeah. I was. And to be honest with you, I could be completely honest with you. I was trying to get to that level. But I can see it become an issue because I was bringing her down to my level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know when we had first started talking, she had wanted to be celibate. Clearly, you know, that didn't happen. And it was just more so of a, like, I don't know, I have a weird thing. Like, I don't really like, I hope it don't sound racist, but I just don't like, I like pastors that look like me, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
and it wasn't, that wasn't a pastor that looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just more so like, it was more of a hassle than like, okay, we going to church. Like, oh, I got, like, you want me, I'm here on vacation.
Yeah.
And you want me to go to church? Like, I'm here to see you. You want me to go to church on a Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing football's around the corner? So, like, you
can
know.
Go to church and see football.
Yeah. But that's, I know that's going to sound hard, but that's one of my requirements. Like, I go to church, I got to make sure the church is out before 1 o'clock so I can be home.
Why I like my church, because we started like, I think it's 9:30. I think it's gonna mm-hmm. get moved to 9 o'clock. So it's like we out by like 11:30. It's probably soon gonna be like 11 o'clock. And then it's like, you know, you spent your time with the Lord mm-hmm. and then you can kind of just do what you need to do for the rest of the day. I know me and my girlfriend meal prep and try to do some, a little bit of work or work out, whatever it may be, right? But try to get some chill time in before the end of the day. So you know, you still being able to do both. Because I agree. I think and I was talking, I think, mom and dad about this. It's like, I mean, the days are like, for most churches, I would say, generally speaking, from what I've seen and heard, like, the days where like mothers stay in the church for 5, 6, 7 hours.
Yeah, that's done.
Coming back to night service. I'm pretty sure it still happens, but you know, I feel like that's like a lot of people not on that no more. You know, it's just kind of like a different day and age, which I think is fine. I don't think you need to be in church.
Even Stronghold, they got rid of evening service.
Yeah, like I don't think you need to be in church that long. Like, and I love the Lord, you know what I'm saying? But it's like I also don't need to be in church like 24/7, 8 hours out of the day.
And I think like that's what kind of like, I don't want to say drove me away, but I think. And I tried to tell mom and dad that, like, it wasn't them, it was me. But when I was at Stronghold, I don't want to say my relationship was fake with the Lord, but I don't believe it was genuine. Because, like, I grew up in a church, so it was what I knew. But it wasn't like, and nothing to take away from mom and dad, but I like, I know they always like, you know, if you're in the church, we want you to join the ministry. So I joined the ministry. It wasn't out of pressure, because that's what they wanted me to do. But not because it was something that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So therefore it was like, I'm doing this because this is what I'm supposed to do, but it's not because of what I wanted to do. So then therefore, and then also like, you know, which just suck. Like, you know, I remember like when we got a, I think it was maybe me and Josh, I got grounded because we had missed church during the Super Bowl. I guess we had overslept, but then we had got grounded, like, you know, I remember on Sundays, we couldn't go out on Sundays. And I was just like, why can't we go out? Like, if I went to church, why can't I go out on Sundays and play basketball or something like that? Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was just stuff like that to when I finally got on my own. And then I ain't gonna lie to you, I remember like when we had the every third Sunday, the junior ushers meeting, we was there all day.
Yeah.
We would
be
there second service, third service, and had the meeting. And then more than likely, like, I think mom and dad had to like serve that evening service. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just an all day affair. Yeah. So then when I finally like was able to get out on my own, I just wanted to, not saying neglect God, but I just wanted to just be able to just experience what I couldn't experience growing up.
But see, that's why it's interesting, because for me, I mean, I didn't care for it either growing up, because, you know, as a kid, like, you know, you want to be able to play and chill and all that kind of stuff, and I feel like we didn't have a lot of those restrictions. But I think it's interesting, like, and I think about that a lot, actually, especially being in therapy, just all of our different responses, like, once we, like, kind of left the house or went to college or whatever, you know, and our I feel like our responses were all kind of different. But I never saw it as that. I think, I don't know, I just feel like as I got older, I think I was the first one to get saved out of all of us. And I don't know, for me, it just took like on a different, it took on a different form. Not that one was better or worse or whatever, but it just, I didn't see it in that way. And I think I continued with it. So for me, I think I like, I don't know why, but I think I just took it on more and didn't see it as like, oh, you know, I want to be free, or this is a burden. And I mean, at the time it was, but it's like, I feel like I kind of internalized it.
I think what really kind of like changed my perspective on church was that weekend I went up to Lynchburg, Virginia. So when I had that, it was like a weekend tour, and I was staying there to when I went to Liberty.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yo, like, it was just, I just looked at them as hypocrites. I'm like, we supposed to be Christians, but y'all are racist. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and
we supposed to be.
And that's, see, and that's exactly why I would never go to Lynchburg. Anytime I see that or hear something with Lynch in it, nah, I'm good.
It was like, we supposed to be Christians, but y'all are racist. And we supposed to be Christians, but the owner of the university is supposed to be a Christian. It's in all this nonsense. And I was just like, and then I just didn't like the whole, like, that's when I knew then. I was like, yeah, I'm not really doing this for me. I'm doing this not to appease my parents, but because this is how I grew up. Because, like, I was not enthused of going there and having First Testament, New Testament, Old Testament classes and being mandated to go to church every week. I'm like, and then I can't watch a rated R movie. Like, bro, I'm grown. Like, what you mean I can't watch a rated R movie? So that's when I was like, yeah, let me just take a step back. But I always knew that he was real. It just took it to really see, like, yo, like, I knew he was real, but it was like certain instances I would be like, okay, like, my mom helped me here, Manny helped me here, not really realizing that God put them in position to help me.
Yeah.
But to really be able to do something on my own and know that he's the reason why it got done was like, okay.
Yeah.
Now I see what y'all like. Now I see what people in Stronghold, where they would be crying in the testimonies, because, boy, I cried.
Yeah.
When I got the apartment, I cried because, you know, for a long time, y'all called me Calvin from House of Pain. And I was like, dad, this is real. I ain't never getting out this house. Like, had the opportunity, and now it's too expensive. And then to finally get the new whip, I really cried because I was just like, Lord, like, you don't, like, it just felt like a whole weight and burden was lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, yo, like, I can now, it just opened up so many avenues. Like, I can go back doing Uber now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I could go back doing Uber Eats.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I could do Amazon Flex because I got SUVs. It just opened up so many different avenues and opportunities for me that wasn't there before. And I was like, all right, God, like, I definitely understand, like, you know, like you're real. Like, even now, me and my girl, like, I told her, I was like, I don't want to go to church every day, but I do think we could, you know, maybe just dissect a sermon once a week or go to church once a month. Something to where, just so we can kind of like kind of get in that habit, because I am of the mindset of, I want you to have a relationship with God and know God, but you don't need to be super religious. Because growing up, I felt like being super religious meant that you was a good Christian. But as I got older, I was like, real. that's not really the case. Because most of these super religious people are very hypocritical and very, like, judgmental. Racist.
Right, I think you talk about racist stuff. I feel like it's funny you went through that then, because you, I feel like now, especially, like, you've really seen that now in politics, like, show itself a lot. And, you know, I think everyone's at their own path, you know, and I think that's the key thing there. Your journey is your journey, and everyone comes to God in different ways and different times, you know. And so I think, like, that's super important. I think for me too, you know, I remember, I don't even know if y'all know this, but just like, when I went to grad school, I think, well, college was a super huge for me in terms of, like, building, like, a strong foundation, right? But I think even when I went to grad school, because grad school was tough, like, if the classes was hard, you know, I had only really knew one person, a guy who had told me about the school from undergrad. You know, I started to get, like, more friends and stuff like that, but it was very isolating in many ways. I felt imposter syndrome. I felt like I didn't belong. You know, it was a lot of, I was, you know, around a bunch of white people, which I had not been the case before. Even at UCF, I still was able to find my community of black folk. And so I didn't feel like the PWI, you know. And so just being at UChicago and just so white, it's exactly like just the opposite of what my experience was. In a new place with no family, right? No people that you really don't know like that. And so it was definitely challenging. Like, I remember, you know, there was a period of time where, you know, I didn't go to church for 3 months, you know, and I was kind of like hit rock bottom and like was thinking about like quitting, like low key kind of depressed. And, you know, and I think eventually, you know, God allowed one of the TAs to kind of come and help me out when he was actually a black guy. And he just, like, kind of helped me along the way. And I feel like that kind of, like, spurred me to kind of, like, keep pushing. But also knowing that, like, I'm doing this, like, for y'all, my family, future family, current intermediate family. And so back, I think, kind of helped push me along, but helped me also get back into church. But I think one of the reasons also I wasn't going to church consistently a lot was because, kind of like you were saying, like, the majority of people there didn't look like me. You know, when you're used to, like, even when I was an undergrad, it was a more diverse church, but I still saw it was people of color.
Yeah, because you was a, you like went me. Orlando World Outreach, right?
Yeah, that's
the church now. Like, if I go to church, I'll either go to Orlando Bible Fellowship or Orlando World Outreach.
Yeah. Yep. And so I just feel like, you know, now being at a church that looks like me, it reminds me of Christian Chanco, actually, which I actually love. But then also I got a dilemma, too, because now, you know, I'm dating someone who's Latinx, and so she sometimes feels like the same thing that, like, I felt, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, that's, like, something that we are, like, a continuous conversation that we're discussing, trying to figure out, like, what that looks like. Because they do good work, they preach the word, they do things in the community, which I really love. Like, we got, like, therapy, like, a therapy building and stuff. Like, and you actually see, like, when we give, you see, like, where the money is actually going, you know, it ain't like the pastor just pocketing it and he just like whipping around, you know what I'm saying? And so I feel like that goes a long way for me, and I feel comfortable giving because I know that, like, it's actually going to do, like, kingdom business. And so, you know, I that's where I feel like God is calling me and us, but I guess we'll kind of see, like, as the Lord, as we kind of go along. But yeah, dude, like, it's not easy out here.
It's not
easy trying to live right. I'm literally just on the way over. Just kind of, that's why I actually appreciated it. Just kind of, like, praying and just trying to stay grounded. And, you know, it's just one day at a time. Like, it's really one day at a time.
Because for a long time, like, I was bitter.
Yeah.
With my parents, with God. It was just like, yo, after the whole academic suspension, I was like, okay, like, you know, I just did an episode on this, and I was just like, I'm 34, still trying to figure out what my purpose is.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the business is the purpose, but what's going to get me to where I could work for myself all the time. Like I'm saying, mm-hmm. like I felt like I had a purpose, and then that happened, and then I no longer was doing it, and I was just doing all these side gigs and doing all these random jobs, and I was just like, all right, Lord, like what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, because I still haven't got to the point where, like, I read the Bible and I could tell exactly what he's trying to say by talking to me. Like, I haven't got to that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I read the Bible and I'll be looking at the study Bible and I'll be like, all right, Lord, I still don't know what you're trying to tell me. Like,
that's okay.
I still don't know what you're trying to tell me. Like, that's what I try to tell. I'll be like, because now, like, I don't even, like I talk to the guy, like, he the homie. I'm like, all right, man. And I pray, I'll be like, all right, let's have a heart to heart, my guy. Like, listen, like, you know where I'm at right now. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
I know you're not gonna let me struggle, like, completely. You're gonna let me struggle, but right when I'm about to fall, you're gonna pick me up. Like, mm-hmm. I need to pick me up right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I need something. But this year, definitely, like, I felt like he has shown me who he really was. Cause
yeah.
even when I had ended up leaving the etching job,
mm-hmm.
I ended up getting the job that just let me go. I got that a week later.
Yeah.
I ain't never had turnaround that quick.
Yep.
And then even now, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got let go 2 days before Christmas. Like, I got a second interview tomorrow, and if I get that, I start on the 15th, to where that's not even a full month.
Yeah.
Of, you know, of not having two of that, just be under a full month of not having two incomes, and then bam, come February, I'm back to where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always been a problem before, was when I would lose my jobs, like, I would fall behind and it would take forever to get back up. So I was like, Lord, I'm gonna take it. But, you know, if you offer me, I'm gonna take it. But I'm still gonna look. And I even had turned down a few interviews because I just knew in the long run, I was like, yeah, that could help, but that's not gonna be what I need for right now. And I think now I'm just being a little more selective on what I want.
And I think that, just like, I don't know, I think as I've gotten older, I think I've realized, and I think Dad has talked to me about this too, just, you know, go to God in prayer about it. Again, you're not always going to give you an answer right away, but over time and in the right season, right, like, it's going to come forth what he wants for you.
Yeah,
right?
And so, like, I used to pray all the time. I was like, mm-hmm. Lord, you know, why didn't me and Britt work out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was really hurt by that. I was like, you know, why didn't, you know, me and Britt work out, X, Y, and Z? Like, I thought she was the one, X, Y, and Z. What's going on? And I think I'm now starting to just get my answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, took me 2 years, but it's like, I needed you to go through that so you can see how you're supposed to be treated,
mm-hmm.
and you can work towards who I have for you now. I don't think I have the apartment, I have the new car, if I didn't go through that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because with that experience, like, where that pushed me, like, you need to be working, like, you got two jobs, I expect you to work the two jobs, not taking all that time off, X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of put in a more of a disciplined mindset.
Yeah.
So therefore, now with my girl, like, I have that discipline. And then with the apartment, like, the trust was there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cause I think that was something in my last relationship. I don't think she had really, she trusted me, but I don't think she really trusted
mm-hmm.
me. Because, but then again, it was fair, because I haven't really had shown that you can trust me when it comes to making sure that I can provide. Like,
mm-hmm.
so, you know what I'm saying? So, like, now, like, I have, like, she knows, like, I can, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can get the job done.
Yeah.
Like, even with the apartment, like, I picked this out. She gave me the range to do that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was just, it's growth. It's growth. And I see now as to why, you know, everything works out the way it works out. And it worked out for both of us. Like, she got a new career, she got a new car, she about to go on a mission trip,
mm-hmm.
which is something that if we were together, I would not be, I wouldn't be for that, to be honest with you. To be like, you want to go out the country?
To where?
I think she's going to Honduras.
Okay.
I had to look, we don't talk no more, but I found it on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and I looked it up, and I was like, see, like, that's why we did, I can see now, I'm more at peace as to why that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm not in the stage of my growth yet to where I can let my wife go on a mission trip. Just being 100% real.
Why?
What if something happened to you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what if something happened to you and then you don't come back home?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not, I don't think I'm mentally ready to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just not. And especially for a mission trip, you could be gone for a month. who paying these bills? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be for real. Like, who paying these bills? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then especially, like, you know, to be long distance and then to move to in with somebody, and then all of a sudden, like, you're gone for a month.
Yeah.
Because nine times out of ten, and we'll wrap it up, nine times out of ten, like, when you go on your first mission trip, like, that's just the start of something. It's not, you're not just one and done. Mm-hmm. So then now it's like, okay, you're going to go on more trips. And now, like, it's just, I'm not there in my walk yet. So, but you know, everything works out for a reason. I'm very happy for it. But yeah, appreciate you getting on.
For sure.
You know, appreciate
Thanks
you,
for
you know,
having me, brother.
Hey, man, you know, appreciate you, you know, coming on, doing the video thing, you know what I'm saying?
Proud of you and your growth and the direction what you're going. And again, mm-hmm. like, you know, there's always going to be hiccups, bumps in the roads, and obstacles. I'm still learning that. But I think also one of the things I'm learning is just that, like, you know, even the challenging situations that I face, God still has come through. Like, one example, for example, is like, what, a month or so ago, she had, like, one of those push to start, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. keys and stuff. And so
battery went out.
Yeah, the battery mm-hmm. went out. And we didn't know, like, there was an actual another key in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we just started, like, trying to figure it out. And she had an Uber over and everything. And then I'm just like, shoot, a car, and, you know, it won't start. And so, you know, we couldn't even get in the car because her locks and stuff don't work. Mm-hmm. And so it just so happened that a dude just happened to be walking by. He had walked past initially. Izzy said something to him. Then he came back, like, hey, you know, there's a key in there. And I'm just like, man, that's God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, even just, like, with my car breaking down, you know, he's still been faithful because, like, I haven't really needed to rush to get
yeah,
a car.
Like, that was crazy. Like, yeah. Mom and Dad went up there and I was like, man, his car broke down. Like, what you mean, man, his car broke down? Like, I was just there last year. Like, it was running smooth. And it's crazy because, like, it was like your car had, what, 108,000, 180,000 miles or something like that?
Yeah, and it was like a 2006.
Yeah, and it was like, that's crazy. You had 180 and I had 308, but yeah. God still allowed my car to be running. And it was just like, that's wild, right? Like,
and
that's.
You were driving that thing to the ground.
I brought it into the ground. Like, I'm going from Orlando to Sanford. I went to Atlanta
to Lakeland.
Yeah, I'm going to Lakeland every week. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to Atlanta with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's wild.
Yeah, man. So God is faithful, man. Because, mm-hmm. like, I've been using Izzy's car, and for the most part, I don't really go nowhere. Most of the time, we together or something. But, you know, I don't have to rush to get a car. I want to try to get a car for next summer. But it's just like, I ain't
this summer or next summer. This summer,
2025.
Oh, so you plan on being out of car for a year? Or
well, I don't need it.
Well, yeah, because you were in Chicago, like, you don't really need
in
it
Chicago,
like that.
I got the
because you didn't really drive it like that when you was in.
Yeah, I didn't drive it like that. But also, me and Izzy, we work together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we spend a lot of time together. So it's just like, again, his faithfulness, and, you know, it sucks, obviously, and that's why I'm trying to get that RAV4. Mm-hmm. That's the car, like, I know I'm going to get, but it's just like,
I had thought about the RAV4 specifically for you, because I was like, yeah, if I get it,
I can, like, test it out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, girl. I was like, baby, I was like, if I get it, I already know, man, he's going to be like, hand them keys over. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'll give it back to you before I leave. I'm going to just take it. I was going to take it for the week, because I was like, you know.
I don't be going nowhere anyway.
You know what I'm saying? So. But yeah, man, I appreciate you, man. Yeah, this was a good conversation.
Keep relying on the Lord, dude. It's one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Any and all situations, good and bad.
Bro. Always, man.
Consistency.
So this is going to conclude the Praise Break Series Reloaded. I am going to do another one for season 6. I'm really going to try to get see if I can get Pastor Burrell on. So I got some questions. I want to get a pastor on, get different perspectives on it. But you already know, man. Follow me on Good Pods, man. Average TPC, that's the podcast Instagram. If you want to start a podcast, the website ain't up yet, so go to The Average Joe Media. I think it's The Average Joe Media. Is it LLC or just because I forgot, I'm gonna tell y'all right now. It is, if you go to The Average Joe Media, just hit me up, say, you know, you want to start a pod, you hear how we sound, you see how the video look, I got you. As y'all already know,
this is an Average Joe Media production.
You already know,
man. Love y'all, appreciate y'all, man. See y'all next week, man. It's your favorite Average Joe. Peace. But yeah, man, like, man, listen, that was when he was able to do all that.
Yeah,
boy. Well, I told my girl, I said, I'm crying.
Heck yeah.
And I was at the dealership, and I just broke down. I was like, hey, man, look, thank you, Lord, because you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, because for a while, I didn't want to make that. I was like, I don't want to make a $500-$600 car payment. But when I had the opportunity,
yeah,
it was now or never.
I think, like you said, it just opens up. It gives you more consistency. Mm-hmm. It allows you to do different things. So, like, it can be... Because then, like you said, if you're not, then you take an Uber, and that's even more money. Mm-hmm. So, like, you might as well just...
Because it was like, I could have always been doing Uber, but it was like, nobody want to be in a car. The AC don't work, and it's loud, and, you know, it's stuttering when you're trying to drive it a little bit.
You wouldn't be getting too much good reviews.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? So, it was just like, it opens up more opportunity. Oh, and, uh-huh. I don't know, it was probably the first time, like, you know, because I literally bought it. And then the same day, mom and dad came up here to meet
TR,
TR's mom and everything. And I think it was the first time in a long time, even though mom was hounding me about the payments, dad was like, he grown. He don't live here no more. I'm pretty sure if he bought it, he know how to make the payments.
And you got
to
just make it work.
And, you know, it was the first time in a long time. Like, I know dad always said he was proud of me, but it was the first time in a long time, like, I can see it in his eyes, like, he's getting it.
Yeah.
And then for mom to sit there and say she was proud of me, you know, the stuff we going through, like, that meant a lot. Because mm-hmm. over the last 5 years, mom might be proud of me, but she ain't say it. Mm-hmm. Like, she's always questioning, even when I got this, how'd you get the money to do that, X, Y, and Z? Not just I see the vision. So for them to be like, you know, for them to see me with the apartment, for them to see me with the car, it's like, okay, like, he's... Like, I ain't gonna lie, once I got the apartment and I got the new car, that was the first time in my life, like, I felt like a man.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I'm a grown man.
That's fair.
Like, I'm doing this on my own.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You've been doing it on your own for a while. Josh's been doing it on your own for a while, but I always been home. Mm-hmm. And I was the oldest, so it was always tough. Yeah. Even though y'all never looked at it like that, it was tough on me, because I'm just like...
I mean, I imagined it was, being
I'm just
oldest.
Like, yeah, like, how my little brother's doing better than me? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm supposed to be setting the example. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to get that, I was like, okay, I'm still not on the level they're at, even though it's not a competition, but I'm holding my own now. Before, I couldn't say I was holding mm-hmm. my own. Like, I'm holding my own now. Like, I'm saying, like...
And I feel like that's my prayer for y'all. Like, I just want y'all to make good decisions, wise decisions, that, you know, that God continues to take care of y'all, and that, like, y'all continue to figure it out mm-hmm. at your own different paths. And like you said, it's not a competition. Like, oh, I'm trying to be better than mm-hmm.
D. It was never that. It was just more so, like, I didn't, especially after my last relationship, I didn't really know if I could trust myself to have the discipline. Because for me, it was never... I knew once I got into an apartment, I could maintain it. Mm-hmm. It was always the deposit, the stuff that goes with trying to get the apartment, the lights and all of that. And so when I knew that had to fall on me, and I was able to make sure that I had it, and then able to turn around and get the whip, I was like, okay, like I got the discipline now.
It makes you feel good about yourself.
I got the discipline now.
It's like a huge step. That's like when I feel like, you know, hopefully in. Get like a Democratic president, and no, they don't mess with like a public service forgiveness thing. But it's like when that gets paid off, it's like that will be like a huge weight
mm-hmm.
off of my shoulder. And I'll probably cry, you know. Mm-hmm. My boss actually just got his loans like forgiven. I'm just like, he showed me the papers, like, man, like 2.5 more years, and mm-hmm. I'm going to you. You know, so that stuff does make you feel good. Even when I do get a new car, it's like, yo, like I can say I got a brand new car with 0 miles on it, and I put the first mile on it. And then, like, I can have that for if I have a future family and stuff.
See, that was with me, right? Like, even though I didn't have a brand new car, it felt like a brand new car.
It was.
You went from a 2012 exactly. to 2023, I was like, I ain't really care about me having the first miles on it. But to where, like, I ain't even got 15,000. Yeah. Like, I still got the manufacturer's warranty and then my extended warranty. Mm-hmm. Like, man, look.
Yeah, that's a win. Darn near new. Mm. So I agree. I hear that 100%.
Always, man.
100%. So.
If you enjoyed what you heard from Thoughts of an Average Joe podcast, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on all platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, Pandora. Check out the YouTube at Average Joe Media LLC, and you'll see all of the Thoughts of an Average Joe podcast clips. And then don't forget to follow us on social media at Average ATPC on Instagram, Average APC on Twitter as well. Thank you, and we look forward to connecting with you soon.
Different kind of city where you live it right. All different opinions, can you choose a side? Come together,
for the better. Change can only start from the thoughts of an average Joe. From the thoughts of